Welcome to episode 94 of the Analog Assault Podcast. This week, we have a special guest with this
big hat,
Sully, so let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another Analog Assault Podcast episode. And tonight we have a very special guest with us, and let's go ahead and introduce all of our friends that are listening and watching this, and that's Mr. Sully right here. What's up, man?
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? Thank you so much for having me on. My old Texas friends, good to see you again.
Yeah,
so, yay, pal.
Yeah. Look at those pops back there, bro. Look at all those pops.
I collect a few things. You guys might have heard of Funko before. I got a few of their products behind me.
Just a few, maybe.
And that's grown since last time I saw the vault in Houston.
This is, sadly, this is just a fraction. This is just a small part of what, there's a whole other rooms in this house that are dedicated to my passions slash obsessions.
I can only imagine, man.
Well, guys, before we get into too much with our special guest here, just a few little housekeeping things. And I just want to say, if you like the content here, then head over to patreon.com/Mulehorn Gaming, get all the details. Or now you can just sub to the Twitch stream if you'd like to do that. That's a great way to support. You can catch us live every Thursday night at twitch.com/Mulehorn Gaming at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my dudes, before we get into this, I got to ask, we ask this every podcast. What have you been playing, man? What you been doing?
Oof. So last week,
yeah, go.
Mule and Thaddeus may have started playing this fun little bit older game, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And I've been a huge fan of Assassin's Creed over the years. I played Origins when it came out. I didn't really like it as much as the other ones, so I was like, eh, I wasn't really sure about Odyssey, but
yeah.
I found it for $25 this last week, and boy, have I sunk some time into it. In the last 3 days, you'll see, like, Underdog, he's been playing it for as long as you guys have, I think. So he got the same time. And in the span of 3 days, I managed to catch up to him and pass him by, I think, 2 or 3 chapters.
Like, why is that not surprising?
It's probably because you don't sleep, dude. I don't know how you do that.
I mean, I slept till 11 today. I don't know why.
Dang.
Those late nights.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying that. I'm up to level 27, 28.
Yeah.
So
okay, then.
I'm really enjoying it. I ended up getting the season pass as well. There's actually a couple, unfortunately, but kind of interesting. There's a couple actual perks in the perk tree that you only get if you have the DLCs.
Yeah.
And they are pretty crucial, I think, just from a keeping your adrenaline up standpoint.
Yeah.
There's
I
one
use the health a lot to get mine up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, but like, for example, there's one in the warrior tree that basically you strike an enemy for 5 hits and it regenerates 3 adrenaline for you.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I kind of need that.
Yeah, and then there's for the assassin tree one, if you assassinate someone without anyone else seeing it, the body disappears. Makes it
so they can't see it. I got it. Like, okay, that's smart. I don't know if I'd ever make use of that one because I jenkins everything.
Oh, I am hardcore into assassination. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, that's what I loved about the old Assassin's Creed games is I love stealthing around, picking off people one by one.
Yeah.
Other than that, back to my regular stuff, a little bit of ESO,
a little bit
of PSO2. Got some Destiny into this week. We had a really fun situation where it was me, Underdog, Barry, Lupo, and Gagne decided we're going to go for that final triumph that we need for this season's title. Whereas you've got to complete this public event, this really difficult one, without any enemies stepping on the plates that you're defending. Well, That's pretty rough when you got three plates and a huge area and all the enemies are around your level. Like, they're not below your level at all. So they're really rough. So we're like, okay, we're going to instance in. We're going to trick the system to get multiple squads in the area. And we went to one planet and we're like, this is not going to be doable with six people. Like, this is rough. We cannot do this. So we was like, we're going to try a different planet so that the enemies are different typing. Because we were trying Vex. The Vex kept teleporting onto the plates. Real rough. So we went to the moon, decided, oh, there's Fallen here. Okay, these are a little bit
easier. This is the new content drop? I guess the what is it called? Or the season?
The current
I mean?
Season. It's okay. Not the Guardian Games, but it's the Seraph Towers.
Okay.
Is what they're called. Okay. Basically, you're defending three towers, and every so often the towers will charge up and release a bunch of energy balls that you have to throw at the tower, basically.
Very nice.
Anyway, cool. Luckily, there was three other people, just randos in the area, and we're like, you know what? We're gonna risk it. We're going to invite these guys to the party. And amazingly, they were trying to do the exact same thing with only three of them. We're like, oh, well, let's just party up and I'll do this. So it took us 3 hours with nine people communicating to get this thing, but we finally
got it.
Took a picture with everybody with their almighty titles, but we finally did it. And that was really cool. Made some new friends. Gonna start doing some more Destiny stuff with them.
Yeah. Excited. Nice, man. So what about you, Mr. Primetime? I
played far less games than that. Just one. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is just like The Witcher 3 in the fact that it has its hooks in me. I can't stop playing it. It's so good. And I am probably the same amount of hours, but not as far in progression as everyone else because I have to complete
100% every island. Like, yeah.
Question mark. Got to get it. Mission. Got to get it.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, oh, well, here's this picture from one of them. Like, wait. When do you see this in the game? I got to need more story. Dang it.
I had a situation.
From Spartan kicking to Venom blading to assassinating. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been playing it's been like me, Underdog, and Barry all in a party chat just playing our separate things. We're like, oh, shit, this just happened. Like, oh, wait, I can't say anything because I'm farther ahead. Oh, this is really cool. Like, I had a really weird situation though. The level scaling gets a little wonky, if you've noticed.
If you don't do side quests, you can progress the story too fast.
I had a quest that part quests, and I had to go find these mathematical equations for a guy, the Pythagorean theorem, and then two others. I don't remember the names of them. Anyway, you take them to him, and he's like, okay, now I'm going to take them to this girl that I like to read them to her. And all of a sudden, like, that quest progresses, and all of a sudden it says, level 42 enemies. And I'm level 18 at the time. Like, wait, what? What?
Hey, guys.
You go to the girl's house, and she's been murdered by thugs. And the thugs start chasing you. And I kind of realized that there was a leader's house right next to her house. So what I did was I got the thugs over to the leader house and had the other guards that were there kill them.
Very nice.
Got a couple shots.
Did any of the guards say, let me hear you squeal, pig? Okay.
I just opened the cages with lions and stuff in them so they can eat them or whatever. That's what I do. I just open the cages, let them eat them.
I just mistakenly, I was like, oh, leader house, run in real fast. Get the guards. And I just ran away and hid.
Yep.
Been really enjoying that.
It's a fun game.
There's a lot of gear in that game, and I really like that there's actual transmog, because some of it's pretty damn ugly.
Yeah, there's a ton of... It's very RPG-ish. It's as we had the conversation in Discord today, it's not very Assassin's Creed anymore. It's more like RPG Assassin's Creed, which I'm fine with. I love that.
Sometimes I'm like, I really wish this was just the original, where if I'm going to assassinate a guy, it's going to die. Yeah. Luckily, I'm kind of figuring out how their systems work, especially with the crit assassination. I don't know if you guys got that yet.
Yep.
But
where you hold the Y instead of just
So one little tip I have on that, you know, when you go up to stealth behind a guy and you can see how much damage the assassination is going to do?
Just a tip.
Sorry, what?
I said just the tip.
I couldn't hear you. Anyway, so like imagine like it only shows portion of the health bar is going to take out.
Yeah.
Basically, depending on what level of that skill you have, the crit assassination is going to double that.
Oh, so nice. Okay.
On level one, it's it'll double the damage. On level three, it triples the damage. So just very having nice. Level one, if the bar is at least halfway, you're going to insta-kill him with a crit assassination.
Nice.
So I found out some...
Very nice.
Like, it doesn't really explain a lot of that stuff. I'm having to do, like, testing.
Yeah.
But I'm having a good time.
So, you know, Sully, I've been lurking in your streams. And if you guys don't know, Sully's been streaming at mixer.com/McCracken5. Is that correct?
That's right. Okay. Yep.
All right.
Not so four, he's been, not six.
Not but four, five. But five.
The first four didn't make it.
Johnny Five is alive. So I've been noticing some Animal Crossing in there, maybe a little Halo. So what have you been playing, man?
Yeah, absolutely. I was on a long gaming hiatus until all this craziness in the world and found myself with a lot of extra time. So yeah. I had bought this computer 2 years ago to do streaming. I thought that was going to be my thing, and life got in the way real fast. But when this opened back up, this time opportunity, I'm going to look at it in a positive way. I said, you know what? Now's time to return to streaming. So I jumped back on I think it was a month ago yesterday, I started streaming again. And Animal Crossing, I had gotten on release day. I never thought nice. In a million years, like listening to N64 Josh on last week's episode that you guys had him on, I'm with him. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't think this would be a thing that I would really get into, but it did.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I play at least a couple hours a day. I always start my streams with Animal Crossing because almost everybody in the little community that I have on my Mixer stream is playing as well.
Yeah.
So nice. They watch, they get tips. Several have bought Switches and the game since then because I think of the streams and the community. Yeah,
that's
which
awesome.
Is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And we help each other out. People are constantly sending me gifts to the mailbox so that I can decorate my house or yeah. craft the next thing that I've got to. They'll come over to my island. We're always helping each other out with the turnip prices, which is an in-game must if you want to make a bunch
pause
of money.
Here. What are your turnip prices?
I didn't check today. But mine are always dismal. That's what mine are. No one wants to visit my island to sell their nips. I'm
noted.
A nip-free island. Mostly.
No nip for you.
No nips.
But you can only play so much Animal Crossing in a day before you got to mix it up. I'm an old school first-person shooter guy all the way. I'm not about cutscenes and too much complexity in a video game. I like to get a gun, go in, and shoot stuff.
Yes.
And so I play. I've returned to Halo 5. I've been playing that a lot. Man, I love the sniper. In yeah. Halo every time. If I can get my hands on it, I just light up like Christmas and start popping skulls and splitting wigs all over the place.
There you go.
Love it. Got into Doom Eternal last night, thanks Ooh. To one of my followers and friends who bought it for me, which was a nice
one. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you don't have to buy a game, it makes it that much sweeter. So
yeah.
game
jumped
share.
In on that. Exactly. Yeah, that's a good thing to have. I do have a buddy I'm game sharing with now, so he benefits from that perk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to load it up and go, wait a minute, I have this? I haven't even told him.
Surprise, mother scooter.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And then occasionally I'll mix it up. I play a little Call of Duty Warzone here recently, which I'm enjoying, even though I'm not good at it. I am not good at Battle Royale games. My best skill in a Battle Royale game is partnering up with people who are better than me. And I know a few,
that's what Prime
so I try
does.
To do that. Whenever possible. It's all about nerds unite, and I'm the guy there in the back going, don't shoot me, don't shoot me.
You're the designated reviver.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm the healer, but I'm nowhere to be seen. I'm behind that bush over there, you know. You guys get them. I support you. And then I have a long time addiction to, this one's going to surprise you, Candy Crush. I cannot stop playing Candy Crush.
Gosh.
Right, you do play that.
I'm on like level 4,000 and something at this point.
Jeez.
I know. I play every day. I don't know why. Thanks to my sister-in-law who got me hooked on it like 8 years ago. I think I've played every day since then.
I think you were playing that back in Houston. We lived here.
Yep. I do not know. I love puzzle games. And that one, it looks like it belongs in the hands of an 8-year-old girl. Well, call me an 8-year-old girl. I'm all over it. I love that game.
How much money have you think you spent in that game?
I don't spend any money.
Oh, you don't? Oh, nope. Wow. That's impressive. Impressive.
I'm one of those
sir.
Rare creatures who earns it.
That's impressive.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Wow.
That's impressive. So I've been playing pretty much the same rotation as you guys. I've been doing Apex, Warzone, Assassin's Creed. But I have a funny story I want to share with you guys. Oh, and boy. it's a mule and mama mule story here. So as you guys know, we're all in lockdown. So like I work from home, my wife works from home. We also have to have 4 kids in the house with a dog, and we have to do schoolwork during the day. God. So it was just one of those days, right? Where like as a parent, you're just like, just sit down, I'm done. Like, stop what you're doing. And so my wife had a moment where she like yelled and was like, go to your room. You're like too crazy right now. And that my middle son was like, you know, he's pretty sensitive, so he's a little hurt. And so my wife goes back and she's like, you know, Whit, I'm sorry I yelled at you. I just kind of lost my temper for a second there. Let's start over. And he goes, hey, mama. In his little voice, he's like, hey, mama, you kind of looked like the emperor. And then he goes, do it.
Oh, man.
And what was funny is we had just watched episode 3 of Star Wars. And so he saw that when the emperor told Anakin, do it. And so
he saw the dark side in your eyes.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny. So the man of the hour here, Mr. Big Hat Sully, or just Sully, I guess you could say.
I don't know.
I could not find a picture. Dang it.
Oh, that. Okay. So, man, you didn't start out at Funko. You started out with we met you years ago at PAX South with the Nerd Foo. You were doing just a fan podcast, website, yep. Pop culture. It was a really fun podcast. It's one of the first podcasts I started listening to. It was like y'all, Amosis, and a couple others. And then I remember you were at PAX. It's like, dude, we got to meet these guys. These guys are awesome. And we just really hit it off. So kind of tell us your story, because I think it's a pretty cool story, man. You took like a dream and made it a reality. So yeah. walk us down that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up a nerd. I didn't know to call myself that at the time, but I was into action figures and video games and movies and TV. I did not like the outside. I was convinced it was trying to kill me. I was into all that stuff. And until I got to high school, I was all about that life. And then I got into sports and girls and went to college, you know, and slowly but surely started to find my way back to it, and met a good friend of mine, Steve, who I ended up co-founding Nerd Foo with at the old print company that we worked at in Houston. And he called me up. We knew each other a little bit. We knew we overlapped when it came to our favorite movies and video games and things like that. He calls me up and says, hey, you ever wanted to go to SDCC? I was like, yeah, but like I thought that was an industry thing. He said, no, we can get tickets. I've researched it. I was like, hey, if you can make it happen, I am 100% in. And he made it happen at a time when it was starting to become very difficult. We got lucky enough to score tickets for 2 days. Nice. So we went, had no idea what to expect. Got there. From the second we got near the convention center at SDCC, my world changed. Everything opened up. I started seeing things. I'm like just dorking out. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not alone.
It was like all of a sudden I put contacts in after being blind for the majority of my life. You know, I'm looking around. I'm seeing my people. I'm seeing these things I love. I'm feeling this energy I haven't felt before. And I just absolutely loved it. And Steve and I, we embraced it fully. From the first day, we started standing these 10-hour lines like everybody else does. You know, and it became part of life. I don't even mind it. I enjoy it. I know it's crazy, but you meet so many amazing people when you do these things. And he and I were just hamming it up, talking to each other. And a guy in line was like, you guys should do a podcast. It's like, what? And Steve was like, oh, yeah. Steve was hyped on the idea from day one. I was like, I don't like my voice. I don't want to do this. And he's like, come on, try it with me. Well, fast forward a little bit. We started a podcast on April 1st. We didn't even realize what day we did it on. We started on April 1st.
April 1st, yeah.
Launched our site, the whole nine. That was Nerd Foo. After some months of planning and researching, not knowing anything about podcasting other than what we had heard through Chris Hardwick with Nerdist and a few others at the time. And we got the podcast going, and no one was listening for a while, and we were fine with that. We were just enjoying hanging out, bro time, you know? And the whole purpose of Nerd Foo was to share the things that we were interested in. Mm-hmm. We were already doing that on Facebook and Twitter. We were tagging each other. Hey, look at this. Did you see this trailer? Did you see this figure? Did you get that pop yet? We were doing all that stuff anyway, so we just turned that from talking to each other to talking to the audience that was what we call the Futang Clan. Futang Clan for life.
Yeah.
And we ran with that strong for 3-4 years, building an audience, doing giveaways. We had actually did, I found out the other day, we did over 100 prize pack giveaways on our site over the course of the years. And we built an audience on Facebook of almost 100,000. We got real close to reaching that mark. 28 or 29,000 on Twitter, 13,000 on Instagram. We just kept building. And everywhere we went, we met with people like you guys. We're at PAX South and we're like, we got to meet up. And on day one, we all became great friends. We podcasted together with Guardian Outpost and you guys.
Yep.
That's been a relationship that we've kept going off and on for years.
Because Animal?
Exactly. Listen back to that episode.
Inside joke. Yeah.
I was going to bring it up at some point. Good call, T-Prime. We did not do that. There's a whole joke involved. No.
That's a thought real quick. Please.
Yes. Put that little disclaimer at the bottom of the screen, please.
No, is that going to be the podcast title, Because Anal?
Yes. Oh, my God. That must have brought in some viewers or listeners. I don't think they hung around for long. But yeah, we built NerdFoo up, and it led to some amazing opportunities to do some cool things. We went to cons all over the country. We just kept building. People, when we would go to cons, occasionally people would actually recognize us, which was crazy. I'd never anything like that. And then that was while I was working a 9-to-5 day job, which went away, unfortunately, out of my control. And I sat down and I made a list of places I wanted to work, and that list was one name long, and it was Funko. That was it. I kept looking at that list, and I would look at other jobs online for like 9 months. That's how long I really had in the bank to find another gig, being very careful about my spending. And about 8 months and 2 weeks into that, after looking at all these other jobs that I was not interested in one bit, I just couldn't see myself in those positions, a marketing job at Funko came up. And so I emailed my buddy Cameron, who I'd known for years, who worked at Funko, and said, "Hey, man, do you think you guys might be interested in having this this redneck on the Funko staff up there?" And he said, "Are you kidding? You would be willing to move?" He emailed his boss. His boss set up an interview. I got the interview. I went up to Seattle, nailed that, got the job, the offer the next day, sold our house, moved all our stuff across the country, and was in seat 6 weeks later.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind. I did not sit down for those six weeks. I think I lost 25 pounds because there was no time to eat. We were having garage sales. We were selling stuff. We were moving. We were saying goodbye to friends, you know, like we were never going to see them again. But still, when you move 2,300 miles, it changes things quite a bit.
A little bit.
And I went to work at Funko. And man, what an amazing opportunity and experience it has been. From the day one there, that boss, my friend Mark, now my friend, ex-boss, was like, "You want to start a podcast here?" I was like, "Are you kidding? That would be a dream. Let's do it." And I already had ideas and most of the outline, the name of the podcast, the structure, everything I came up with in one of my drives from Houston to Seattle. And almost all of that is still the format of the show today after 153 episodes.
Wow.
I can't believe it. It's changed a lot over the years in that the people that I had on the podcast, the Funcast crew, are all very busy in different ways. So we don't get to all be on there every week. We do a lot more interview style stuff now where we bring in artists from inside the company. We've been lucky enough to have on some amazing people like Chris Hardwick. I still can't believe I got to interview Chris Hardwick in person. That was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
We're geeking out.
Oh, I was internally on fire, freaking out. I don't know what I said until the next day. The whole time. We had on Sir Mix-a-Lot. We had WWE's Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins. We had on Big Walt from the Seattle Seahawks. We've had on so many people over the years. It's been amazing to have on these amazing guests from outside the company that are also collectors. But the podcast grew and it led to some more dreams that I got to see. And one, the one that sticks out the most was last year in Ballroom 6AB in front of 1,000 people. I got to do a live podcast.
STCC. Oh, yeah.
Got my little plaque for the table there, my name plaque with the STCC logo and my name next to it. And that equally as freaking out as interviewing Chris Hardwick because that was surreal.
The dream, right?
It was full circle. I went from the nerd who got off the plane in San Diego and didn't know what he expected to going through all those years as a fan, as press, as a podcaster, and then to be on stage. I mean, the only next step that could surpass that would be Hall H. I'm not crossing my fingers on that, but you never know what might happen in the future.
Yeah, you never know. Wow, dude. Wow.
What a journey.
It's been unreal. It really has.
And it's like,
I love that I could be there for part of that on the Houston side. That's some good times, you know. Fu Tang Clan, Nerdy Night, some crazy games, some crazy drinking, some crazy fun, Funko swapping. It was good times, man.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings for you and I to swap out some Spider-Man pops back in the day.
B-dubs. Yeah.
Isn't that nuts? And you know, honestly, I know it's going to sound like a thank you speech at an award show, but I absolutely could not have done any of that without the friends, the family that I made along the way in the nerd community. People who were supportive and believed in us and gave us so many nice compliments along the way and bolstered my confidence to do things like doing live panels. And are the same folks, many of them, who join my Mixer channel every night. So I get to see familiar faces and names there, which is, man, it's so nice. It's it is, again, surreal.
You inspired a lot of people along the way. One person I can think off the top of my head is Corgi Commander. That guy has taken con experiences to the whole new level, thanks to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. He doesn't have his own channel, his own podcast, his own YouTube videos, but he is a celebrity doing his corgi droppings at the cons where he puts away loot. It's so much fun. He's such a great guy.
It's awesome. Yeah. And a fun fact, you know, I was on y'all's podcast a few times, but in the midst of that is when I got hooked on to Funko Pops as well.
Uh-huh.
I went from a former comic collector to like, okay, we're pop things. Holy crap, these are amazing. And I was obsessed with collecting them. I had to have them all. I had pretty much almost every Deadpool up to a few Grails for a long time. And until I had to dial it down a bit because I was running out of room and extra cush money. So it was glorious. I've unfortunately sold them on Pop since then to get back into comics, but I have one left. And it's already earmarked for someone else in the podcast. It is Shepherd from Mjolnir.
Dude, are you serious?
Christmas gift that I've yet to send to you or deliver to you in person.
Yes, dude. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't wait, dude.
It's like, I will not sell this one. Maybe not.
Dude, that's thanks, awesome. Bro.
It's been a great journey, man. Amazing to have you on here. And it's just reliving these memories is getting me all giddy again. But yeah, man, thanks for. I mean, I have one question, though.
Uh-oh.
Do you miss Whataburger?
Oh, God, so much. Shout out. Always, I got the Whataburger on standby. There you go. I keep this close. But I've got everybody at work knows my obsession with Whataburger. The fans, the followers of Funko know my obsession with Whataburger. And so many people over the years now, because of the Funcast, have gone through Texas and the other eight states where Whataburger has a presence and gone out of their way to go to Whataburger. And Whataburger follows me on Twitter now.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Damn.
That's how I knew I arrived.
You have arrived. Oh, man. Dude, I got to say, too, because, like, we owe, like, when we were starting this is when we met you. And we owe a lot to you as well, because, like, a lot of the people that knew you kind of started listening to us as well. Like, Anger, who's in our chat, who's one of our Patreon supporters, like, Corgi, Chismo, all these guys, how we just like intersected. And it just like, I'm getting chill bumps talking about it, man. Cause it's just like, it's literally like the hashtag you always use, like Nerds Unite, man. And it's good.
Man, I live that. I believe that. I just recently, I heard Chris Hardwick. I still listen to him when he podcasts with ID10T. He said something that really brought it back around for me. And he's like, hey, there is room for us all to succeed in this world. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you overlap. Why have competition in this space? There's room for us all to succeed. And that's something that I believed. And that's why I say Nerds Unite. I think we should all come together. Positivity. I fully believe in a positive presence, taking care of the people around you, you know, taking a moment to check in on friends and family. I mean, before this whole COVID thing, I always thought that was important. Now more than ever. But luckily we can do it digitally, but fully believe in supporting, great creators like you guys. And it fuels me back. So it's a two-way street.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, I was just thinking back to some great moments we had, and this is a little off script here, but I have to bring up when we were all at Comic Palooza, and the moment we got to go into Coral Sword, and we got to live podcast with Ming and like you. Yes. And watching Ming fanboy over you and Funko was like awesome, dude.
That was awesome.
That was a great photo from that.
Describe. I was like, next to Ming, holy crap. Yep.
Yeah.
Ming has become a good friend over the years and is one of the most solid dudes you will ever meet. He's so generous with his time to anyone. Somebody will come up and say, Ming, you want a podcast? He never goes, who are you? How big is your audience? Never. Yeah. It doesn't matter if that podcast can be listened to by two people. Ming will be like, yes, let's do it right now. Love that guy. Amazing. what a role model that the rest of the world has yet to see, but they need to. I think he'll continue to grow because of how great a guy he is.
Yeah, completely agree with that, man. Because he didn't even know who we were from Joe Dirt. He's like, hey, tell me about you. And like, I'm like, I'm on your live stream, man. And he's just like, yeah, just tell me. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. Like, yeah. Yep. So we're going to get into in just a second. We're doing some MHG madness with TV shows. And since you're a connoisseur of pop culture, we're going to go over that in a little bit. But I have one more question for you. And this is the first time I've asked someone this, but what are five little known facts about you that maybe no one else doesn't know? Like maybe you know a foreign language. I mean, we obviously know about Whataburger.
Well, I thought about this a little bit beforehand, and I figured the best way to approach it would be just, you know, those security questions that you get when you put in a password somewhere, like what street you grew up on, what was your mother's maiden name? I figured I'd just run down that list of things. So here we go. I'm just kidding. People take a note. I don't bank at Bank of America, by the way. Don't
take care. Oh, that'd been too easy.
No, I tried to come up with five that are a little unique. I know some of the listeners of the Funcast and Nerd Foo might have heard these by now, because I am a pretty open guy for the most part, which could be dangerous one day. We'll see. Let's see. Here's five things. I was a cheerleader junior high through college. So a total of 6 years I was a cheerleader at all different levels. And during that time, I went from a little pudgy, my nickname was Pillsbury, to 6 foot, almost no body fat. And then I got back to the Pillsbury mode later in life. Went to school at Sam Houston State University in the great state of Texas.
Yeah.
I detest olives and mushrooms. Never want anything to do with either.
Right there with you, dude. Don't put mushrooms on pizza. Don't do it.
Them. Both
or pineapple? No.
Never. Yeah, don't pineapple. Like, what? Whoever thought that up?
It is pineapple on pizza is
the best
pizza
thing in the world.
Maybe? Oh no!
No.
This is an ongoing
and
debate
I also
for our community.
Love mushrooms. Can't stand olives. I can't. I'll split you there. I can't stand olives, but I love mushrooms.
Well, I hate all but candy. So good.
It's like eating rubber.
You, Scarecrow.
Yeah. Rubber.
Yeah, like mushrooms, like on a pizza, is like rubber, dude. It's like I just can't do
so
it.
So flavor like a sponge, man.
I see. HR Bomber's like black olives and mushrooms are the shiz. Well, there, yeah, that's how I'd say it, but just not in the same tone. let's see, going down the list, I found this out. My brother and I just started a new podcast called Movie Retakes that we launched. We're on doing our seventh episode. And when we started, he and I recorded when I was up visiting him in Canada. And I went on to, there's this great site called Podchaser, where you can build out your profile and put every podcast you've ever done in there, like an IMDb. Mm-hmm. My brother and I's first episode of Movie Retakes was my 400th episode of a podcast.
Dang. Wow.
Can you believe that?
First rodeo.
No. From a guy who didn't want a podcast to all these years later having done 400 podcasts, give or take. There's a few lost ones out there. It happens along the way. It's a sign of a good podcast when you lose one.
Right. Yeah.
I've been out of room to store collectibles since 2015. But somehow, I just keep going strong. No, that didn't really count. I'm just kidding there. And then, this one's kind of unique. I might have talked about this before, but my wife and I started dating back in 1993. So we've been together since the beginning of time. And I have a box of tickets for every movie, concert, sporting event, etc. that we've gone to over those years.
That is so awesome. You're a little sentimental there.
I'm a very sentimental guy. I can't get rid of stuff. It's so hard for me. But that box,
look at
one
the wall
day,
behind him.
Yeah, exactly. One day I'd like to go through that box and organize it. A lot of them are just the old, like, it just says admit one. I couldn't tell you what it's for. But then once they started printing the concert tickets and the movie tickets, I've got them all the way back to, you know, anything you can think of that we saw in the theater. I've got it.
Yeah.
That is
right
so cool,
on, man. That's weird, so cool. Collection. That's cool, man. So we got you here, so we gotta kind of lean in on your pop culture knowledge, and I'm gonna throw it up on the screen for you guys to kind of see, kind of piece this together a little bit. But this is our MHG March Madness. We did one for video games. It's like March Madness style. Now we're doing it for TV shows, and you, sir, have quite a bit of TV knowledge. So we have our comedy round. Which we're looking at, which for you guys, let's see, that would be, I think it's a little off, but it's a...
Lower left,
yeah. Yeah, that's animation.
That's animated.
Yeah.
Upper right.
Yep. So right now, we have Friends and Parks and Rec going against each other. We know a bro
it's
that
not even
likes...
competition. I'm sorry, it's not even competition.
But is it?
No, it's not even a competition.
Yeah, before y'all get into this next round, can I just say, I got to back up here a second. I looked over your previous choices. Arrested Development losing to How I Met Your Mother was quite the upset.
I agree.
Development.
I don't get that.
No, don't count the Netflix revival business. Just those first three seasons, and it is one of the best comedies ever made. I enjoyed How I Met Your Mother, but that last season, not so much.
I know, man. Well,
I'm glad. Like, I totally voted for How I Met Your Mother.
Wow.
I love that show way more.
No way.
Seen Arrested Development?
Not all of it. Yeah,
there's always Bunny in the banana stand.
That's a 420 answer.
I blew myself.
You chose.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I derailed you. You were getting into the Friends versus Parks
and Rec. No. Like, out of this whole category, because you guys can kind of see it, the top's cut off a little bit on stream. I have to move it a little bit. But Friends, Parks and Rec, How I Met Your Mother, Community, The Office, Silicon Valley, Seinfeld, and Brooklyn Nine. Who's going to come out on top over here?
Ooh.
So, next round, it's going to... Well, right now, we got to start from the top and move down. We got to start with Friends versus Parks and Rec. Obviously, we didn't go over that one yet. But, hardcore, for me, it has to be Friends. Just... Long time running, just a great show all around.
Ultimate classic.
At least every other year I've got to go and watch through it. It seems like.
Yeah.
I know Steve would agree. I know Steve would agree. That's his all time favorite show. I think he's seen every episode like 100 times at this point.
Yeah.
Dang.
It plays on, I forget what it's TBS, I guess, during my lunchtime. So I see an episode or two every day at work.
That's nice.
Not recently, but when I go to the office, and so like I think I've seen every episode at least twice by now, and it's good, still good.
I love both.
I love Parks and Rec. It's my recent completion. Yep. It's hilarious, but Friends just by a little tilts it.
Friends was a different era and a time where that show was very important to me during that time. So that one will always sentimentally win. But I think just if you looked at every episode of the two. Friends was more solid throughout.
Yeah.
Probably true on that. But I gotta go with Parks and Rec. It's just that or The Office are my two, the top two right there. Because they're just so freaking funny. So funny, man.
But then, How I Met Your Mother or Community? Like, what are you guys going for?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I haven't watched either.
More of How I Met Your Mother. Probably in that way.
See, I love How I Met Your Mother, but I'm actually currently going watching Community. I'm on season two, and boy, I'm just loving it. Like, just the little stupid little things, especially like the last 5 seconds or so of every episode, they always have this little bit that they do, and it's normally these two characters that do something. And one of them is it's the characters Troy and Abed, and they do this morning, like fake morning show that they do at the college. It's like Good Morning America, but it's called Troy and Abed in the Morning.
Troy and Abed and in the morning.
Yeah, and there's like no cameras or anything. They just do it for no reason.
Yeah. They're great characters. Yeah, I'm with you. I go Community over How I Met Your... That show had some off episodes along the way, but the ones that struck, they struck hard. That show is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to explain Community to Underdog the other day, and like, it's oddly, they have a lot of racism discussions in there.
Yep.
Like, I was really surprised. Like, yeah, it's like, but they say a lot of stuff, but then they say like how it's bad. It's kind of this weird situation, but it works out.
So many great ongoing gags with that show that they bring back seasons later. They did a really good job of building on that stuff. I really appreciate that, because sometimes they'll dumb down shows to only make them funny in that 30 minutes. I like shows to build on the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, like Office, Silicon Valley.
Wow. Those are both great. Yeah. Office.
Yeah. Recently, Silicon Valley when it was airing, was pretty fantastic, but The Office, I mean, just like Friends, mm-hmm. it still freaking kicks. It's great.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I never watched Silicon Valley, but I have to go Office. It was just, I watched it for the first time actually maybe a year ago.
Wow.
So just binged it all in a matter of like a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just really good. Such
amazing talent come out from that group. You know, yeah, some are still doing rocking stuff to this day. It's amazing.
So
I just saw in the chat, HR Bomber said, I haven't seen hardly any of these. I was kind of appalled with myself with how many I had seen. I'm like, oh my God, there's only a few of the things on this entire list that I've never seen before.
I was going to be surprised if you hadn't seen something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll call out. There's a couple in there when we get to them. But in the comedy section, I think I've seen every single one of these.
Nice. So moving, because y'all are all pretty much consensus Friends for this. So,
Yeah.
Overall, for the whole category,
Office takes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
The Office. Man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go Friends for the whole comedy.
Well, you know, crow is crow. No, I get it, man. It's a crap ton of nostalgia, but yeah. The Office. I mean, I get way more laughs and memorable characters that I can relate to.
Now, I'm going to have probably unpopular opinion about The Office, but it just makes me... I still really like it, but probably unpopular is that I liked it much better once Michael left.
Oh, what? Really?
Oh.
Yes.
You're
like,
the
I
one.
Enjoyed his I enjoyed his character and all, but yeah. Like, it just, I feel like it got better once he left.
I don't know. I thought he was like the show driver.
That's a pretty Dwight thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Right. Oh, yeah,
that's
man.
What she said.
Bears, Battlestar Galactica.
So good.
Right. So moving on to animation, which is on the bottom left for you guys watching on the stream. We have left, which this is crazy. We have The Simpsons, Batman, DuckTales, and Futurama. And I got to say,
X-Men. Not make it that far.
I don't know. I don't. What the heck is wrong with our Discord?
Batman animated series was good, but the X-Men animated series set the frickin' bar.
But, Batman's way better, dude. The stories in the animated Batman are fantastic.
I don't care. There's no anime that have made it this far, so I'm just out of it. I don't care.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Full Metal Dragon Ball. Not what was the other one here? Avatar, My Hero.
Avatar's not anime.
Oh, really? Oh, that's true. It's not. That's not.
I don't care who you are.
Real quick with that one.
in our community, Orange Revenge. You guys know him. He thinks that is an anime, and I will go toe-to-toe with him any day of the week explaining how it is not.
It's anime.
It is an anime style, great anime style cartoon. It was not anime.
There's your next podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
take a podcast.
Right. We'll just do a YouTube video of Crow just explaining that.
He gets angrier and angrier as it goes on.
Yeah.
It's not anime.
I think this one's Simpsons all the way myself.
Yeah.
Really? Disney even over Batman?
Batman and Simpsons, and Simpsons just takes it. I mean, they predict the freaking future.
They yeah. It's coming up more and more, isn't it?
It is. It is crazy.
It's crazy.
It
yeah.
is. I just saw the whole, like, COVID-19 clip today or yesterday, and I was like, whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that one, and there's another one. It's like this doctor's telling all this mob that you just need to stay home and rest, and any like drugs we'd give you would just be a placebo. And like all the people are like, is the placebo in this truck? And they start mobbing and taking over the truck. I'm like,
Yep. Wow. Were they dressed in flak vests with holding guns and flags? Because that would be exactly what we're looking at right now.
Right? I don't know, man. That's going to be a tough one. I'm curious. I think The Simpsons will win for nostalgia, but Batman, dude, the OG Batman was so good. It was so good. Drama, which is bottom right for you guys watching. Drama right here. This is some tough ones.
This one's a little harder. I haven't seen a lot of these, unfortunately, but I've seen probably half of them at least.
Yeah.
My winning take of it all, I am the danger, Breaking Bad.
Yep. Agreed. It's my second favorite show of all time, period. And I just did a rewatch of most of it, and God, it's solid all the way through.
So dang
such
good.
A great show. So good.
See, problem is that I'm not as into the drama, so it's harder for me, but when you throw in something like Daredevil into a drama, that's going to really pique my interest, and Game of Thrones. I mean, I know most of you guys know, but I only watched Game of Thrones for the first time last year. I've been watching a lot of things for the first time last year.
Interesting.
I watched it, but it was nice because I watched it all the way through.
Yeah, you didn't have to wait. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the very few that I really enjoyed the ending. I know that there are problems, but I do like the way they did it.
A few people were overly critical.
I think so.
I mean, even with the last season, I still got to pick Game of Thrones as well. I mean, it was one of those. I've never had a show like when the dragon comes over the hills to take out the armies. I think that was season 7, maybe. I've never had a show where I like stood up in my chair and was like, yes, yes, yes. I'm waiting for this, you know.
Yeah, I think I might have yelled out a few times watching that show, for real.
Yeah. That's what puts it over the top for me. It's like, I mean, Breaking Bad, it took me a while to get into it. I did finish it, but it didn't have that same effect on me. Like, I was just like, dude. Yeah. So the next one's the one that's near and dear to all of our nerd hearts, and that's sci-fi. And we got Firefly still in it. So,
this
and that
was hard.
I love Firefly, but I think that was an upset as well. Battlestar Galactica is the best show ever made. That's my number one.
Yeah. It's
so if you guys could get the whiteout out and just fix that, that'd be great.
See, I was one of actually the few people that voted for The Boys. I was a greatest fan.
Great, but it can't contend with those for me.
See, I'm going to show my bias here.
Oh, is that against BSG?
Battlestar Galactica, when it was really big, was also... Well, that's the original series that we're talking about.
No, this is the remake. No, 2004.
Right, that's the remake.
Yeah.
The original series is like...
Oh, sorry. Dated. I was confusing. Yeah. Around the same time, I mean, it's a few years even earlier, was when Stargate SG-1 was around. And that was my show. The Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis...
I like, love
those were my shows.
I knew I liked you, Scarecrow. Yes. The whole Stargate series from start to finish, even when it got really campy, was great. Jason Momoa on there? Come on. Hardly anybody even knows he was on there, and he was great.
Wait, yeah, that's the first time I ever saw him.
Yeah. Well, he was on Baywatch, and then he went to Stargate Atlantis.
I didn't
but
know
honestly,
that.
I think we that's there's a travesty right. in the world that we don't have more Stargate now. That is primed for a comeback.
We never
at
knew
some
the
point.
True ending to Atlantis. Come on,
I know.
Not really. No.
They're still going. They're still flying right now.
No,
they
made
universe.
Earth.
Universe.
Oh, universe.
Yeah.
Our, you know Atlantis what? Made it to Earth.
I can't find the article on this. I'm sorry. I'm going to derail us for a quick second, but we're talking Stargate. This is a passion of mine. Stargate Universe was a fantastic show. And at the end, they went into like cryo sleep for what, if I remember right, was supposed to be 10 years.
Right.
Okay. On when did that show end? No, on Universe.
Oh, Universe.
They were in that giant ship that had the Stargate on there, and they could jump within a vicinity, but they were headed towards the answer to it all. And I think they went into cryosleep for 10 years, if I remember the story right. I can't find an article anywhere that outlines it. I just need to go back and watch.
I think
it has
about
been
right.
about 10 years since that series ended.
Oh,
how
boy.
Brilliant would it be to bring the series back on the other end when they wake up from cryosleep and then somehow explain away aging?
They need
because
to.
Because they will look a little different. As, oops, the cryo chamber kept you asleep, but you still aged. Sorry about that.
See, I got it right here. I got it. It's a very old ship. The cryotech isn't fully advanced, so they slowly age. They still age, but it's much slower.
There you go. Huh. God, I would watch that.
Already thinking
that was so good.
Boys are thinking.
Yep.
Because that was a huge disappointment for me, not seeing the end to that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got a few thousand people watching right now, but if one of you guys works for sci-fi, listen to us.
Right.
Or Sci-fi, or whatever you call yourselves these days.
I'm going to blow you guys' mind with this logic here, but nothing is better than Baby Yoda. The Mandalorian is going to take it all. It's going to take it all, man. Baby Yoda is such a craze right now, man. And it's like Jon Favreau. The way he did it, it just like, it's so good, dude. Look, I'm wearing, I'm supporting the Mando right now. I got my Star Wars shirt on.
I'll admit, it is pretty fantastic, especially after seeing the gallery with the director's interview. Huge respect for it even further. But it's no Battlestar.
Dude, but like,
you gotta earn it over multiple seasons.
You gotta earn it. Exactly.
One season was great, and I'm sure they're gonna follow it up with like Taika Waititi and Robert Rodriguez directing episodes. It's gonna be fantastic. But we don't have that yet.
I mean, it's everything a Star Wars fan could want. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm just
wait till they introduce Baby Jar Jar in the next series.
Oh, no, we got Ahsoka coming, so I'm excited for that one. So yeah.
That final episode of Clone Wars.
So good. Oof. So good. So we got a segment we're bringing back, and that's the Ask Analog segment. And we're just throwing it in here, Ask Sully, as well, because we like to have our guests have questions asked. So we're just going to read through these real quick. And you guys in chat, if you have a question, you can certainly ask it as well. Just tag us in the chat. But that mama rocks, or as in our Discord, she goes by, that mama likes beards.
Yes, she does.
And look at this all. Look at these beards. Oh, yeah.
We aim to please.
She says, "When can we get a Dragon Age Funko?" LOL.
This great question. We get this kind of stuff all the time. And what I always like to say is, anything is possible with enough time. It's all about the licensing. So what I would recommend, if that's something you really want, you start tweeting about it, and you tag Funko and you tag BioWare. And you just keep on at it, and you get your friends involved. So, you know,
keep going,
money moves.
And going. Yeah.
And if those two companies think they can sell them, it'll happen.
There's plenty of other BioWare games that have had Funko stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mass Effect. I know y'all's proclivity towards Mass Effect, so.
Yes.
Eh.
Yep.
Whatever, Scarecrow.
I'm going to fall out.
So here's another good one for you from Anger. He says, Sully, what's it like living in Texas for so long and then moving to the Snojo? I live in PNW and want to move to Texas. Any recommendations?
Well, I have some questions for Anger that may just open up his eyes to a few things. Anger, do you like bathing in your own sweat for 6 months at a time? Stay in Texas or go to Texas. Do mosquitoes like you? And if so, how much?
This is true.
Can you drive an oversized pickup truck but never haul anything around? And are you ready to gain 35 to 50 pounds?
Yes.
Because even though the great state of Texas and the outdoors have tried to kill me for years, I miss them dearly. I really do. I miss Texas. I miss Whataburger, the great Mexican food, breakfast tacos and kolaches, which don't seem to be of anything anywhere else in the world except in Texas. Can you guys believe that? Kolaches.
What a shame.
Nowhere else.
West Kolaches, man.
People look at me like I'm crazy. Oh,
yeah,
well,
I got Colorado, and I found them, but it might have just been the area I was in.
Well, I got to go there because also legalized weed is pretty nice. And moving on. Texas, amazing food, great people, lots of elbow room, and a very low cost of living. I would recommend it if you can deal with the heat. I personally did nothing but complain about the heat. I think I've found home up here now.
It took a few years for me to adjust from West Texas to southern-ish Texas, Houston.
They call that
and swamp. Yeah. Now that I'm adjusted, it's nothing.
Yeah, that's the reason why.
I'm originally Colorado and up in the mountains, like up, not Denver, not low area, like high Rocky Mountain areas.
Yeah.
And boy, that was a change because I literally moved at the end of the ski season.
Yeah.
And boy, I went from that winter we had 2 weeks straight where it was negative 40 at noon working on at a ski resort to coming down here to like plus 100 days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Whew, that was a wake-up call.
No spanky. I want temperate
balls.
Yep. Yeah.
So here's another good one for you. What's your favorite pop of all time? This is from Nate Johns.
I get this one a lot, and you guys may not be surprised. I went ahead and pulled it from the collection so I can show it, and it is the SDCC exclusive Flocked Sully.
Sully!
There are only four.
Surprised.
480 of those in the world, and I tell the story a lot. I looked this up online after that SDCC because I wasn't lucky enough to score it, and I sat there on eBay in front of my computer for a good 5 minutes debating if I should spend that much on a pop. That much of the time was $40. And this bad boy now goes for anywhere from like 800 to 1,000. So I think I made the right call.
Wise investment, good sir.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a question in there. What is the most you've ever paid for a pop, if you want to disclose that?
You know, believe it or not, I've been very careful over the years. Most anything I have in my collection that's worth quite a bit is because I picked it up when it was not worth that much. There have been a couple of exceptions. I bought the prototype for Ivan Drago from the Rocky set, which the prototype, there's only a handful of those in the world that's actually used in the design process for the pops. Yeah. I got the all-white Ivan Drago and spent, I think, $120 on that. And then I bought a four-pack after D23 one year that has these mini pops with Ratatouille, Wally, Carl from Up, and I want to say a mini Buzz Lightyear. And I spent $120 on that. $80 on that. It was $120 on the proto and $80 on that. And that's the highest I've spent in all these years.
Nice. Considering how many, I'm actually kind of surprised. But
I just went ham in the beginning. As soon as I found out what it was, like I remember I say this all the time too. As soon as they announced He-Man, I ordered every single one of them as a pre-order. That whole first set. I do not regret that. Rocky, same thing. Thundercat, same thing. There's quite a few in that range that I was just like, yep, purchase. I don't really care. I want them all. And boy, that paid off.
Nice. To tag onto your questions, Crow, on the flip side, what's the most you've sold a pop for?
You know, I have never sold a pop from my collection. I have traded and I have given away, but I've never sold one.
That makes sense.
Nice. Too much of a collector right there.
Yeah, one, it would be hard to part with them. And two, as you can imagine now in my situation, that might be frowned upon. So I don't want to take advantage of anyone or vice versa. So just easier to stay out of that.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
One comment about that, like we're talking about stuff like that. I have to give a shout out to you and all the other Funko. You are amazing, and I also hate you at the same time for bringing out the My Hero Academia line. Ooh. Because I think I own just about every single one of them. And I was at a point where I was slowing down, and then you guys started releasing those. I'm like, damn you. Damn you.
You better go ahead and secure a second job, my friend. I don't know that. That line is going to continue strong for years to come.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Donate some plasma. There you go.
Yeah. Regularly. Yeah.
Stick me again, nurse.
The anime, I can't speak for the company, but I can say that what I've witnessed is the anime just took off more than anyone could have ever expected when it comes to selling pops. And that has really accounted for a large portion of the company's sales over the last couple of years and just continues to grow. So
that's awesome.
Smart market to tap into.
Oh, absolutely.
And can you believe that the creator of that show almost stopped at like season two?
God. Well, that's a testament to building an audience. That's something that most of the television networks don't get now. Like, hey, let's put up a season. It didn't take off immediately. Cancel it. And yeah, then everybody mm-hmm. falls in love with it when it goes to streaming. Like, Firefly. What do they even do?
Firefly.
Yeah. The ultimate example.
Yeah. And there's just, it's so good because there's so many references to everything. Like, the creator, he is a huge Marvel fan and a massive Star Wars fan. So there are a lot of things that reference back.
Okay,
to
I might
it.
Have to watch that then. Yeah, I'm not a big anime fan.
It's, into it as well.
It's a show that watch it. You probably would be interested in if you can get over the main character crying all the time for the first two seasons.
Yeah. Everyone tells me, because I mentioned quite a bit that I've not gotten into anime. I have nothing against it. I just haven't spent the time with it like I have other fandoms. Everybody tells me that My Hero Academia is the best way to get into it.
I'm gonna have to check
it right
out,
up
then.
There. It's become like a couple years ago. I wouldn't have said that. Well, it wasn't around a couple years ago. But anyway, like the ones that I would have said you need to watch this first have gone down the list just because of My Hero. Hmm. Like it's just that good.
One day.
So this is
and I'll be here as soon as you start it.
This is an interesting question, and I've never heard of this, but Dark Life says, why are there hidden figures inside some pops' heads?
You know, this is news to me too. I do not know what the question is here exactly. Only thing I could think of was I have gotten a few pops over the years where you shake them and there's a mm-hmm. noise inside. And that either is probably like some sort of loose plastic or maybe even a broken component, because the head, if you pull hard enough, you could take the head off of the stationary pops. And of course the Marvel ones that are bobblehead and Star Wars, they have a little spring in there that you can pull the head all the way off pretty easily. Yeah. Sometimes there's little bits in there that might break off, and that must be what that is. Now, maybe this person's experience is they literally found a hidden something inside of one.
I've seen a video of someone cutting a head open, one of those ones that was rattling.
Yeah.
Cut it open, and there was one of the little minifigures in it, what? In the head.
Apparently, Oga Gaming in chat says that was a fake video someone did on TikTok.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. I've never heard anything.
The one that I've seen, so yeah, now, probably. Yeah.
There are some cool Easter eggs when it comes to pops. If you turn pops around, sometimes you'll find stuff on the back that most people will never see if they're an inbox collector. And then also the box itself, if you're opening the lid, sometimes in the lip on the lid will be a phrase from that show or movie or whatever, secret code, if you will. So you got to look.
Who opens the box? I mean, what sane person does that?
Not this guy. Only for unboxing videos. Those aren't mine.
We got two questions from in chat.
Okay.
Ogu Gaming asks, Sully, what's your favorite Grail? Huge Funko fan and supporter.
Well, I get this question a lot too. And I think it goes back to 2013 SDCC one that I didn't pick up, and that was the gold Loki. That was back in the day where they were all a little derpy looking compared to what they look like now. Still great art. I'm not dogging the artists. And they all had that superhero pose, but he had those big horns and it was gold. And it was, man, it was breathtaking. And I passed up on buying that one for like $80. And I think now it goes for like $1,500.
Is that what that's referred to as, like the gold ones? The Grail?
Well, there are. Yeah, that would be considered a Grail. There are indeed actual gold chrome or gold pops now, but that was just gold in color mostly. Like not solid. No, it was his helmet and his armor were gold.
Okay.
Long before they were chrome.
I've got the gold chrome Comic-Con C-3PO.
Oh, I like those.
I think that's also the most I've spent for a pop. I think I paid like $40 for that one.
That's not bad.
I talked the guy down from like 60 or something.
That's not bad at all.
I believe Grail, in the terms of Funko, is more of the item you seeking for you don't have yet.
Yeah.
Like the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's usually reserved for those that are worth just, you know, an extreme amount at this point. I mean, I can't believe some of the sale prices I've seen over the years just boggle my mind. When I got into it, I was just hoping some would reach a few $100. And now it's far exceeded that.
Yeah, I haven't even checked mine in forever. I don't even know if I'll ever be able to get rid of them.
Those first wave My Hero, I'd go for quite a bit these days.
Thanks, because I've got a lot of them.
Well, if you, here's a plug. This is not paid for by Funko, but if you download the Funko app, it actually pulls the value of items from sale prices on eBay. So you can actually download the Funko item, scan the barcode on the bottom of your box, and it'll tell you what the average going rate for a pop is these days.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. We got one last question also from Oh Good Gaming. Sully, any advice to a growing streamer, an avid collector, to be noticed by someone in your company?
Well, I think the same advice I would give anybody starting out with any passion that they want to turn into a business or a long time or a full-time job down the road, something that really pays the bills, and that is stick with something you're passionate about, for sure. Make sure that streaming is something you want to do. Stick with inside that. Stick with things that you're comfortable with. Don't do something just to try and build your audience. And consistency. That's the one word I have heard over the years from every creator that rings a bell with me at all times. And that is, if you commit to something, you got to keep doing it. And you can't, you got to look adversity in the face and laugh at it. If there's a wall that someone puts up because they don't believe you can do it, don't listen to them. Keep doing it. If you wake up and you don't feel like you should do it that day, get past it. Find a way around it. There's going to be a day where you're going to be kind of out of it and don't feel like it. And then something amazing is going to happen because you took the time to do it that day. And if it's not working, maybe mix it up a little bit. Try something different. You know, I've been doing my stream on Mixer, and I've been very lucky that a lot of friends and fans have come in to support me. But the other day, I reached into my collection, and I pulled out a holographic Darth Vader pop that's worth a car payment these days. And I said, I'm giving away 4 prizes tonight, and that might be one of them. Come check out my stream. And man, that got people's attention. It turned out lucky for me, unlucky for the fans, that 2 other prizes were won, and that was not one of them.
Oh, man.
But I will eventually give it away. I'm not going to do that to people, like put it back in the vault and never see it again. I'm gonna make sure eventually one of my followers on the stream gets that. So, you know, take some chances. Do something different, but remain consistent and true to what you're interested in.
Yeah. Nice. Very good, man.
Absolutely.
Well, dude, Sully, man, thank you so much for joining us. I love podcasting with you, man, and getting to hang out with you. It's just so fun. Like, I need to see your face more often, bro.
Absolutely. This is a blast. I love you guys so much, and I love your podcast and your community and everything you're doing. It just makes me smile when I see your name pop up in my chat or on Twitter. So you guys keep just killing it. You're doing such a great job. Yeah. And if you ever need anything from me, you know I'm here.
Yeah, man. Really appreciate that, brother.
I need some Funkos from your collection. Burn it here.
First of all, Funkos are not a thing. Let's go with that. I'm just kidding. It's an ongoing joke inside the company.
Yeah. Well, tell everyone where they can find you on socials, your stream, all that for you guys that are listening and watching.
Absolutely. I'm all over social media, but I spend most of my time on Twitter. So if you want to follow me at CSSULLY on Twitter, that I love to engage with people. Don't be shy. Come on in, say hi, join in the conversation. I'm streaming on Mixer, and to make it super confusing, I am McCracken5 on Mixer because that was my gamer tag from 15 years ago, and I just stuck with it. And then I just started the new podcast with my brother, Movie Retakes, where every week or every 2 weeks, we watch a movie that we fell in love with years ago or recently. We break it down. We tell you some cool trivia behind the movie. And then we actually give our own retake pitch for what we think a sequel, prequel, spinoff, or other retake might be. So we're writing our own ideas and pitching them in the podcast, which has been a blast. Talk about having to be creative. Our most recent one was Snowpiercer because there's a TV series coming. But we pitch our idea on what we thought a sequel movie would look like.
Boom. Love it, man.
And we're links in chat.
At Movie Retakes on Twitter as well. So please give that a listen if you would, and maybe subscribe if you're down with it.
Nice. Right on, brother. Well, guys, if you like our community, then check out our friends, The Shed at theshed.gg. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes, and you can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Explosions!
All day. Man, thanks for hanging out and chat. What a showing.